All right. Well, welcome to episode 7 of our Ankeny Fanatic Rodcast. In a little bit here, we'll have our usual Rodcast crew together, minus one of the gang, and we got a sub filling in for him. But to start out today, we're going to do something a little bit different. We didn't get a chance to get one of our Coldwell Banker Realtors on the regular podcast on Monday, so we're going to start out the Rodcast today with one of the Realtors here who's been on the program before. He is Ron Sampson. Ron, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks.
Well, hey, it's glad you could be here. You know, what's new in the world of real estate these days?
Well, everything's selling. Everything's selling high.
Well, that's good. Good for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. It's tough on the builder. It's tough on the developer. It's actually tough on the real estate agent. And it's you know, for buyers and sellers right now, it's a little stressful.
Yeah. Well, that's nothing new, though. I mean, it's kind of been that way the last couple of years, hasn't
it? Yeah,
it
has been. Yep.
Well, are there some certain properties that you're working more with these days than others?
Sure. And Andy Logan is my partner, and mm-hmm. we represent MJ Properties. And we represent him in townhomes and villas. And the difference between townhome and villas is that for villas, they're standalone homes, but they don't have any HOA. So nobody can tell you not to put a fence up. Nobody can tell you not to put a pool in. Nobody can tell you, you know, not to put a basketball hoop up. But we do have a really nice little group of these homes, and they're usually a step down in size from what most people are in.
Mm-hmm. And where are most of these located around town?
These are just west of Centennial High School.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they're interested in taking a look at some of these properties?
Sure. My cell phone is on all the time, 515-250-5383. And Andy's is 515-979-4494. And we're up at Coldwell Banker all the time. You know, our builder is very supportive of what we put out there. He's doing his best to get the materials and the men to put these up. And we're going to have 8 of them going here real quick.
All right. We said that everything is selling right now and everything's selling high. I mean, what tips would you have for people who maybe now are just interested in getting into the market? I mean, if they're not ready for what's been going on, what would you tell them?
Sure. Sit down and have a heart-to-heart talk with a professional real estate agent. That's probably the most important thing because, you know, your expectations can be high for your house, and they'll give you a good market on that. But the other thing is that next house is going to be high too. So, I mean, things are pretty relative right now. If you sell high, you're probably going to end up spending a little bit more than you were planning to on the next house. Everything's expensive. The shingles, the siding, the manpower, the concrete, everything.
And you said that things are just selling like that still?
Yeah. You know, it is just, it's one of those unusual markets, but it happens about every 10 or 11 years. I've been in it 25 years, and it's happened now twice. But you know what? Things will level off. It's actually a very fair market because you're going to get a lot for your home, but you're going to probably spend a little bit too.
Right. Well, hey, I want to talk a little baseball with you, too.
Sure.
Our friend Brent Cameron was going to be on with us today, and now he couldn't make it. But he's a big baseball fan. I know he had a couple questions he wanted me to ask you. But obviously, they just came to the deal here, so we are going to have Major League Baseball. I know you're a big baseball fan, have been your whole life. You know, I'm sure you were glad to see them come to an agreement.
Well, I was because, you know, when Benz was drafted in 94 was the last time they had a strike. And they had a walkout and they had a shutdown. And they were really after these younger kids that were in the minor leagues. And that mm-hmm. was his second year of being in the minor leagues. And, you know, a lot of this, there are some kids who took the bait and played a little bit. And I won't say that they were blackballed, but it didn't help their popularity any.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with this latest deal, I mean, I don't know what you thought, but kind of the impression I got with people. I mean, there's so much going on right now with March Madness beginning. You know, baseball really isn't in the front of your minds. I mean, if this had dragged on for a while, I think maybe people might have got used to not having baseball, and it could have gotten ugly.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, sports are sometimes they're on thin ice, and you got to win your fans over again sometimes. And I was glad to see them come to a conclusion, and that we're going to have baseball.
Well, I know there was more to it than this, but I know a lot of people felt like, hey, we had the millionaire players, you know, fighting with the billionaire owners over dollars. And so they didn't have much sympathy for either side, did they?
No. And you know what? You can't blame people, you know, because you got an awful lot of the society that plays ball or plays golf or plays anything for the fun of it. These guys are getting paid well. They're well taken care of. They've got great agents, but they've got great organizations providing for them. So,
well, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, you know, a while back I did that story with Benj and Todd when David Ortiz was elected into the Hall of Fame. I'm sure you were glad to see that as well.
Oh, you know, what an honor to even ever be on the field, let alone be on a field and be a teammate of somebody who goes to the Hall of Fame. And David is a tremendous person. And both Todd and Benj just adored him.
Well, I remember watching him play when I went up there to a game, 98 or 99, whenever it was. And, of course, we didn't know what he was going to become at that point. But, I know Benj said, the way he is on the field is the way he was as a person off the field, too. You know?
He just had a ball playing baseball. He had such tremendous talent, but he had such a tremendous attitude. That was the biggest thing he had.
Yeah, as a Twins fan, I just wish he could have realized that potential with the Twins. But
yeah, and the Twins have kind of a record of doing that. They've had a lot of players that blossomed somewhere else. They got brought in by the Twins, but they went somewhere else to be famous.
Yeah, and that happens.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Ron, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You bet. All right, well, we're back with the broadcast. Joining me, as always, is Rod Brennan. How you doing, Rod?
Good. How you doing today, Dan?
I'm doing good. And filling in for Tony and Brent today is Yankee Centennial Boys basketball coach Bob Fontana. Bob, how you doing?
Good. Doing real good, Dan. Sun's out. It's supposed to be 70 degrees. Good day.
For sure. Well, Rod, I know you're a big baseball and football fan. You don't get into basketball quite as much as the two of us do. But, Bob, isn't this the best time of year these 3 weeks?
Oh, it's a great March Madness, yeah. Well, you know, you start with the high school postseason, the state tournament, the college stuff. Yeah, it's a great time of the year.
Well, we'll maybe talk a little bit of high school stuff later on, because I know last week when I talked to you, that was before the semifinal and final games, and I do want to get your thoughts on those games. But we're going to focus mostly on the NCAA tournament and March Madness today, because Rod and I are heading down to the Final Four with a couple of buddies. And of course, Bob, you're heading down there as well. It's going to be fun in a couple of weeks, isn't it, Rod?
Oh, I can't wait. I've never been to one. You know, I was supposed to go 2 years ago with you, and we're going to stay at Andy Crawford's house in Atlanta, and then COVID hit, and they canceled it. You know, so yeah, I'm just thankful I get to go somewhere, you know.
Yeah, better late than never. So, and we will be joined by a special guest here in just a couple of minutes. Somebody with some ties to this year's Final Four. I think you'll enjoy that conversation. So I tell you what we're going to do is we're going to shut off our recording here, and we're going to get a hold of him, and we'll be right back with our special guest. All right. Well, joining us on the podcast right now is a native Iowan. He's the former executive director of the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union and also the former AD at Northern Iowa. And he's now the AD at Tulane, which will be the host school for this year's Final Four. He's Troy Dan. And Troy, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Appreciate it. Well, normally I would tell you it's been pretty smooth sailing, but since this will be the first Final Four with fans in 3 years, it's almost like we're working with the NCAA to reinvent the wheel. But crazy time is as we head into the next 3 weeks of tournament play, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I bet. It's such a big event to prepare for. I'm sure you guys have been planning for this, for a couple of years, ever since you found out, that New Orleans would be the host site. It's just got to be a ton of work, huh?
Yeah, it really started a little over 4 years ago when we submitted the bids for this current cycle. And so, it's an eight-figure bid that we put together, in the city of New Orleans, the Sports Foundation. And so, it's really a massive budget just from our standpoint, and the last 12 months really, where it gets real, right? Getting people assigned to do things and making sure all the hotel stuff is lined up. So it is a massive undertaking with extraordinarily stringent rules and parameters from the NCAA. Things that are frankly rather onerous, and I'm not sure that they're necessary, but that's what they are. And ironically enough, as we're preparing for this tournament, we're getting ready to submit the bid for a tournament in the 27 to 31 cycle. So, one good deed, I guess, does not go unpunished, if you will. We're getting ready to do this all over again.
Well, how much of the responsibility would you say falls on the host school? I mean, the NCAA's got to help out. I mean, you said they give you some guidance, but I mean, they got to help you out quite a bit, don't they?
Well, honestly, I've been surprised at how much has fallen on us, because the bid is technically awarded to the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. It's like the Des Moines Sports Commission, if you will, for New Orleans. And then we as it requires a host institution, and that's us. Now, what we provide, the Sports Commission provides a lot, and the NCAA actually runs the championship when they get here. But for us, it's labor. It's organization and planning of events. They'll have an event called the Dribble for where there's been 2,000 basketballs ordered for little kids, right, to dribble. There's a read to the Final Four. Events like that that we do a lot in cooperation with the schools in the city. A lot of that stuff has been going on, you know, on the ground here well in advance of the tournament. You know, when the ball tips, you know, there is no question the NCAA is involved, but from making sure there's ticket takers at the Superdome to making sure there's people at the scorer's table, that's on us as the host institution.
Well, I'm sure for some of your departments, like the media relations department, you know, they're used to staffing a game at you know, your home men's basketball game, which probably gets like, what, 5,000 fans? So, I mean, it's just got to be a huge challenge for them.
Yeah, and it's a massive undertaking because of the volunteers. So I have a staff of 130. About half of them are coaches. Half of them are administrators. And then about 30 graduate assistants. So of that 100 staff and graduate assistants, about two-thirds of them will have some working assignment during the Final Four. I've got football graduate assistants that are running stats.
Oh, wow.
And then we'll have another 200 to 300 volunteers from outside the university that have various roles, you know, everything from walking the band in from the loading dock and making sure the band is in and out to escorting the cheerleaders to, you know, you name it. There are just so many things that you don't think of that maybe you don't even do for a regular home basketball game, that because of this being a tournament and the teams not being local, that we have to prepare for. So a lot of folks, we had our last planning meeting last night for the local organizing committee, but just the involvement of a lot of folks, and people that aren't necessarily sometimes used to working in athletics and being around athletic events, but are just our volunteers for events that come in New Orleans. The one asset I would tell you we have here is, because it is New Orleans, you know, this town is built around tourism. Everybody knows what's going on. You don't have to try to educate the hotels and what it's going to be like, because the hotel occupancy, you know, we're just coming off of Mardi Gras, and hotel occupancy averages 97% in the city every night, 365 days a year. So they're used to the crowds. That's one nice asset. They're ready for big events, and they know how to deal with big events here.
What would you say has been the biggest challenge for you, you know, personally, in putting this whole event together?
Well, I suppose it's just the time commitment, because, you know, your normal time commitment to just the job, and I'm involved in a bunch of NCAA committee work right now, which goes on top of your normal job, and now this, which I would say, you know, it's hard to put hours on it, but I've been 10 to 15 hours a week in various meetings related to the Final Four for the last couple of months, and just, you know, trying to logistics of that week, you know, I won't even see my office the entire week. So I think just the time commitment, and that's not just me, but that's everybody. And the funny thing is, you know, the reward, you know, there's really no financial gain for the university, for us as the host. The gain really is the experience. The gain is you know, partnering with the city, because the city partners with us in so many things. Just making sure, you know, a national championship event goes off without a hitch. A lot of my young staff is excited because, you know, one, getting to a Final Four, usually where you sit at a Final Four, if you do get a go, not exactly attractive seats. But here, you know, they're going to have a pass and be on the floor and being around the court. So they're giddy about, one, adding something to their resume, but two, getting that up-close and personal access to what I think is probably the best multi-day championship in the country in any sport.
Oh, for sure. Well, hey, what's the latest on the mask mandate down there?
So the mask mandate was lifted 3 days after Mardi Gras.
Good.
So that's nice. Now the NCAA has a rule, and you'll see it starting this week. I think you saw it in the first four last night, that anyone around courtside will have to have a mask on. But otherwise, the mask mandate doesn't apply in the venue here. And then we have a vaccination mandate in New Orleans that's been here for better part of 9 months, which you have to be vaccinated or show a negative test to get into restaurants and to get into venues. However, next Monday, the city has said that they're going to be evaluating that mandate, and I expect it to get lifted next Monday. So that will be a weight off of all of our shoulders, because the logistics, we have had to vaccination check people at all of our home events this entire year, and it is a logistical pain to do that. So not having to do it for a 75,000 person basketball event will be very nice. So hopefully, if there is such a thing as normal, we will be normal for the Final Four.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Hey Troy, I have a question. This will be my 20th Final Four I've went to, and I always go to the marketplace, the convention, the breakout clinic sessions that they have for coaches. Now, what is your role or your department's role in dealing with that kind of thing?
Well, very little. The stuff that's at the convention center, the Fan Fest, we're involved in that. And it's more securing space and logistics, and you know, the NCAA and its sponsors really activate the event. We do work with the NABC, and I've met with the NABC folks several times just about their arrangements. And actually, there ends up being quite a little bit of expectation placed on the hometown coach. So just with everybody coming into town. So, you know, work with them to some degree, but there's so many, I want to say, collateral functions that they're going on. Obviously, the coaches convention, you know, a lot of athletic leadership things are going on in town at the same time. The slam dunk contest and the 3-point shootout are not going to be here. They're going to be at one of the HBCUs in town is going to host that. So Okay. Just a lot of other events that we have our fingers in, but not necessarily day-to-day administration responsibilities once it hits, like we do with the championship itself.
Okay.
Just give you an oddity of how the stuff we talk about. Yesterday, we added an $80,000 line item to our budget because the pregame concerts, the concerts on Saturday and Sunday are at a place called Waldenburg Park, which there are train tracks around it. We have to have crossing guards at four different points for 4 days, and that's an $80,000 expense.
Wow.
Just to provide for that. So again, it's the stuff you never think of, that, you know, hey, we're running a basketball championship, we're hiring crossing guards for train tracks.
Jeez. But,
that's just the extent of the planning and the detail. You know, that this is, and I've never been around a championship where the detail planning is as intense as it is for this one.
Wow, that's something I would have never thought of. You know, Dan never says it, but, you know, Dan's a school crossing guard, so maybe you could.
There you go, my part-time job.
If you could borrow your vest. Actually, when I found out how much it costs, I heard it's $1,000 per day, and obviously whoever runs the trains is going to get a chunk of that, but I'm trying to figure out what training is necessary and if I couldn't get those 4 days to do just that myself.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I want to ask you about the security for the Final Four. I know every year it's pretty tight. I've gone to several Final Fours as well. And, you know, this year with everything that's going on over there in Ukraine, are there any concerns, you know, from you guys about, you know, something happening here at a big event like this?
Well, the security and the around it, I mean, I can't even tell you the hundreds of uniformed and non-uniformed officers, both locally and nationally, that come in for this. I don't know that there's been any additional security planning that's done. But I'm not sure how much additional planning could be done. You know, that obviously New Orleans hosts Super Bowls, and so, you know, really the security is at the level of Super Bowl. You know, the protection of people, the people that are necessary to be protected, it's at that level of a Super Bowl. We haven't done necessarily anything different, although I will tell you, you know, we have all sorts of event cancellation insurance that we've never had before, really, because of the pandemic and other events, you know, that may happen, global events that may happen. So it's kind of provided for, you know, in the business plan, just in case something like that does happen. You know, there's all sorts of, if you remember the Super Bowl a few years ago, I think it was Baltimore was playing in it. Remember the power went out at halftime?
Yeah,
I remember that.
You know, we have auxiliary power in that should something happen to the power, you know, that there's external generators that'll power the entire event. So, you know, a lot of redundancies because, you know, this is the NCAA showcase, and you know, as good as it is or as bad as it is, we'll do a lot to form the reputation of the organization from how it manages championships. So, you know, like I say, the redundancies, and there's a lot of money being spent on things that you hope you never have to use, for sure.
Well, Bob, you said you've been to 20 Final Fours. So have you been to any of the ones in New Orleans before?
Yes, this will be my third one. The first one was before Hurricane Katrina, excuse me, and then the second one was after. And obviously, I noticed a lot of differences and changes. And so,
and you'll notice them again. The Superdome just went is most of the way through a $400 million renovation. A lot of the things are back of house, but you know the Superdome used to have. If you remember the old Vets Auditorium, it had the ramps.
Right.
Those ramps are gone now. You know, it's more modern from that standpoint. Like I said, a lot of the things are behind the house. But a lot of renovations inside the dome. The Final Four history here is, you know, spectacular. You know, if you remember Keith Smart hitting the baseline jumper for Indiana. You remember the Chris Webber calling the Phantom timeout. You know, those are the things that happened here in New Orleans. So, you know, this is number six for the city. And it seems as if something odd has happened in the games, or very memorable at least every time. So, you know, I think we all hope that's the case as well.
Well, yeah, I was there in 03 when Syracuse won it with Carmelo Anthony. And that Final Four, I believe, was on the Saturday games. There was just a downpour. I mean, we stood outside waiting to get in the games, and it just rained like you couldn't believe.
Well, the one thing about New Orleans is they don't cheat on rain. When it rains here, it's like nothing I've really ever seen. It's one thing to be in an eye with thunderstorm, but afternoon showers are like that virtually every day. So hopefully, you know, today it's 75 and there's not a cloud to be seen, and it was that way yesterday. Hopefully that's the weather we're lining up for the first weekend in April.
Well, Bob and I, of course, have been there a couple of times, so we've done some of the touristy things, but I was going to ask you, you know, you've lived there now for a while. Are there some things that, you know, maybe do that off the beaten path, you know, either things to see or places to eat that maybe, you know, most people wouldn't know about?
Well, I tell people the first thing you do in New Orleans that nobody thinks about, there's a World War II museum that is one of the top 10 museums in the United States. And I would compare it to, from an intensity standpoint, to the Holocaust Museum. You know, it's a full day, and it's phenomenal. And I tell people when you eat, you know, everybody's going to eat in the quarter, but I never go to the quarter ever, never, ever go to the French Quarter. You know, the great restaurants in New Orleans are outside the quarter, located in some neighborhood that doesn't even look like a restaurant. You go inside, there's 15 tables there, and the chef's been there for 30 years. You know, it's a phenomenal eating, but it is, believe it or not, a small southern city. If you speak ill of somebody on one side of town, it beats you to the other side of town. 93% of the people that live here are natives. But in the French Quarter in downtown, you know, it is a tourist mecca. It is a completely different place than the rest of New Orleans is, though. And I suppose there's good and there's bad with that. But, you know, from a what do you do, everybody goes to the quarter. You know, I'd only been here when I took this job. The only time I'd ever been here were for Final Fours and conventions of one sort or another. So I'd never been outside the quarter. But, we have friends, you know, nobody from New Orleans ever came to visit me in Iowa, but now that I'm down here, I have a lot of friends from Iowa that come down to visit me.
I'll bet.
You know, and obviously we take them to the quarter or take them down into that area, not late, but, and then we find someplace to eat that's outside the quarter. But, you know, we like to take them out on the swamps and on the boats, the airboats. You know, it's a neat experience. When I took the job, it was described to me that there's three Louisianas. There's, you know, the quarter, which is, you know, kind of Vegas-y, right? There's the rest of New Orleans, which is more like a European city. And there's the part that you see on TV where they're killing things with their bare hands. And you only get about 10 miles west of town, and you're right into that, in the swamps and the crocodiles and everything else. So it's there's actually quite a little bit to do. You know, that you don't think of that isn't going to a bar and drinking a hurricane. There's quite a little bit to do, believe it or not, and you're not going to necessarily take advantage of this probably, but it's, you know, I have a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old. It's fairly kid friendly. Mardi Gras is probably the most kid friendly event that we've ever taken kids to. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for a lot that's here. but you know, it's it will drain you after 4 or 5 days because most people stay down in the quarter, and you know, the bars in New Orleans shut down for 1 hour a year, and that's the midnight at the end of Mardi Gras on the first day of Ash Wednesday. They're closed from midnight to 1 a.m. and it's otherwise they're open. And at 5 a.m., if for whatever reason you get up at 5 a.m. and you go out for a jog, you're going to see a lot of people walking out of the bars at 5 a.m. It's quite a place and a life that maybe I could have gotten away with when I was in my 30s. But now that I'm in my 50s, it's someplace I try to stay quite a ways away from.
Hey, Troy, I'm going to be staying with a couple small college coaches here from Iowa at the Marriott that's only 3/10 of a mile from the convention center. Are there any restaurants you would suggest that are outside of the quarter that would not be, you know, that far from us?
Well, if you get outside the quarter, you're going to have to Uber.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, no matter where you go. But I always say there's two restaurants that are where the locals go, right? In Iowa, it's like where the truckers eat.
Yeah.
One's called Galatoire's and one's called Clancy's.
Okay.
And I have two dinners planned for people coming in from out of town, and one is at one and one is at the other.
Okay.
That's where I'm taking them. So, you know, there's a lot of other, you know, restaurants. If you're in the quarter, you know, Brennan's is probably my favorite, and it's about a 60-second walk from the Marriott.
All right.
You know, it's right on the edge of the quarter. And the other thing I would tell you, there's whether it's Drago's or Acme, the favorite food for an Iowa boy in New Orleans is char-grilled oysters. And okay. Those are the two places to get them. And it's one of the things everyone's known for here from a food standpoint. And you won't regret it.
So you got Brennan's, Clancy's. What was the other one you said you first mentioned?
Gautreaux's.
Gautreaux's, okay.
Gautreaux's.
Yeah, you think I would have taken better notes when I was there the two previous times? Because one evening I went with about 12 college coaches, and it was outside the quarter. It was probably a good 3-4 miles away, and you think I'd remember the name of it? But it had great seafood, had great steak.
The thing here are the sauces and a lot of whitefish.
Yep.
You know, there's a couple steakhouses, you know, you won't want to eat steak when you're here. I've yet to find a pork chop here that even compares to anything in Iowa, but the fish and the sauces are to die for here.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Any way, put it that way.
Well, my only thing is it's going to be my first Final Four, and there's nothing I'd enjoy more than going down there and seeing the Iowa Hawkeyes in it, so I'll just throw that one out there. I think it'd be just epic if they made it the Final Four.
You know, I texted Gordy Bohannon last night, just to remind him that despite that shot that Jordan hit, Matt's still my favorite Bohannon from his U and I days.
Yeah, yeah.
But that you know, I said I hope they get on a heck of a run and I get to see him again because one, that's quite a family, but two, there probably aren't four teams playing as well as Iowa is playing right now, but you know how this tournament is.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
if you quit shooting one game or you play somebody that just gets hotter than they've gotten, you know, that's it.
Yep.
And you know, it's amazing at the end. They always seem to get, you know, four really good teams, but it's a bumpy ride on the way there because it's hard to do that multiple times. But, you know, this is probably as wide open of a year as you're ever going to find.
Oh, I agree with you. I think there's about 8 or 9 teams that could win it.
Yeah.
What, hey, Troy, where are you originally from?
Originally grew up on a farm just outside of Marshalltown.
Okay. So by LeGrand?
By LeGrand. Yep. Just north of LeGrand.
Did you ever know a guy by the name, he'd be older than you, but by the name of Al Stoner or Jerry Hosky?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Jerry Hosky was, you know, I'll give him credit if he's one of the greatest athletes that ever went through LDF.
Okay.
And I remember Al's name, not as familiar with him, but you know, LDF had a great football tradition, you know, was one of those 8-1, 9-0 teams every fall, you know, and playing small school football. And yeah, those are two of the legendary names. You know, older than me, not crazy older than me though, which is scary because I remember growing up and those guys seemed like they were way older than me.
Yeah. Well, years ago when I was the head basketball coach at Carlisle, Al was one of my assistants. And then I got to know Jerry too. And then I find out those two guys used to ride horses together all the time.
Yeah.
Small world.
Yeah, it is. And you know, not many people know where LeGrand is, you know, a victim of consolidation of schools. So, you know, my school colors don't exist anymore, but, it was from LeGrand to Des Moines to the Girls Union and back to Cedar Falls. You know, I spent 49 years of my life in Iowa before we moved down here. And you know, we ended up buying a house back in Iowa on a lake because my wife's also an Iowa girl and we just kind of miss it. You know, it's, New Orleans is a great place. It's not the greatest place to raise your kids, probably, especially when you're coming from Iowa. And you know, it's you know, the public school education was spectacular in Iowa, and you know, we're in private schools here, so a lot of differences. But you know, it's, you know, I also was never going to be able to be part of the hosting a Final Four up there, and so you know, it's there's some neat experiences to go along with it, that's to be sure.
Yeah. Well, hey, Troy, we're going to let you go. We've kept you long enough. I know you're busy. You got a lot to do, I'm sure. So, but really appreciate your time. We've learned a lot today, I think.
Well, it was good to talk to you guys. And, Dan, it's been, my gosh, it's probably been 25 years since you and I first met. So.
Well, I was just going to ask you, do you remember what we were doing that night?
Oh, I remember you were writing for somebody at the time. Oh.
I was thinking we went to the fair, didn't we? We had a double date, not with each other, but
I actually do remember, and I think it was sisters, if I remember correctly. And
they were friends. I don't think they were sisters, but they were friends.
Well, it was my last date with her.
Yeah.
and that was probably her choice and not mine.
her loss. She could have been courtside for the Final Four, man.
Well, yeah, that's. My wife's in row 40, and I don't think that's close enough, so.
All right, Troy. Well, hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's great to talk to you guys.
Take care, Troy.
Yep.